Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor begins a two-part series titled, How God Sees You, Your Value, Written in Blood. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Parents as deceiver, as supplanter. He was even given a name by his own parents that reflected, you know, a less than wonderful character flaw. And that's what the word Jacob means. And they named him deceitful, supplanter. But God saw him as Israel. God saw him as one that was going to give birth to sons and continue the heritage that leads the whole way up to the Messiah. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was just a teenage girl who saw herself as of low estate. She said to the angel, "Have you regarded the handmaiden of low estate?" She saw herself as insignificant, a nobody. She saw herself as impoverished. Yet God saw her as the perfect candidate to bring the Messiah into the world. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the disciples, Peter and John and so forth, they shocked the known world because they looked at them and they said, these people are unlearned. They have no education. They're basic fishermen. Yet they're so bold and fearless. You see, these people that they saw them as unlearned, uneducated. Yet they couldn't deny the confidence and the power that they carried. Rabbi Saul of Tarsus was known as a killer among people. God saw him as a healer among people. The whole way through the scriptures, whether it's Saul of Tarsus, Mother Mary, whether it's Rahab who ran a brothel in Jericho, had a host of harlots that she would, you know, market out to the men of that day. And yet God saw her once again as a continued link in the lineage of the Messiah. I'm telling you people right now, God sees you way better, way more valuable, way more important than you've been seeing yourself. You've left other people shape you. You've left your own thoughts lie to you. You've based yourself on a scale that is improbable, impracticable, and doesn't work. It's flawed. You must begin to see yourself the way the master sees you. You know, all of these people eventually, I mean, they had obstacles, they had hindrances. I mentioned all of these people, Moses. Yeah, but he got it. He finally got it. Moses finally got it. Saul finally got it. Mary finally got it. The disciples finally got it. All of these people that really didn't see themselves accurately, the great story is they eventually began to line up with how God saw them. And when they did, I mean, there was an explosion in the spirit world, and that explosion ricocheted into their natural world. God wants you to really, when you begin to see yourself the way he does, you'll stand in the shadow of nobody. You won't have to compare yourself to anybody in any form. The uniqueness of every individual, the potential, the power, the purpose that God has for you, has no limits. Do you hear what I'm saying? It has no limits. Because that's where your true value is. That's where your true identity is. And that's where your true purpose is. Is whenever you begin to see yourself the way that God does. There's a verse I love in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says this, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Oh, you need to memorize that, meditate on that, get that going over and over again in your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. What's that mean? It means the way you think in your heart is what you'll project. If you think you're a loser, you'll project loser. If you think you're second rate, you'll project second rate. If you think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, then you'll project that arrogancy and that pride. But if you think that you're a new creation, that with the help of God and his grace, that you can become all that God wants you to be, then you'll project a confidence and an assurance and a security I mean, that'll shatter everything that has tried to shape you the wrong way. If you don't see yourself the way that God sees you, and you run according to the course of culture, then what you have waiting for you is a life of constant comparing yourself with other people. Well, the people in the Bible refuse to be on that cultural scale. Nehemiah was only a wine taster. He was a cupbearer. I'd like to speak to you today about the subject of how vital, how important, how critical it is for you to see yourself the way that God sees you. Most of our lives, we are so unfairly shaped by the opinions of others. We're so fairly assessed on our skill, on our looks, on our status, on our potential. We are rated in everyday life, and a lot of it is so unfair, and you're never going to get the full measure of your confidence, of your stamina, of your boldness, of your creativity until you really begin to allow yourself to see yourself the way that Almighty God sees you, because there's nobody that sees you quite like He does. It says in Genesis 1:26 that God said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, when you and I were made, or when the first Adam was made, God decided that He was going to make man His highest creation. The lowest creation is minerals, gold, silver, iron ore, things that are into the earth. Then comes your plant life. Then comes your animal life. Minerals, plants, animals, then man, and then up to God. God never said, let's make the minerals in our image. Let's make the animals in our image. You know, let's make plants in our image. Other cultures have made animals gods, birds and cows and things of that nature. But God said, let me make man. Man will be my highest crown of achievement. And I want him to be made in our image. In other words, when I look in man, I want to see myself. It's like looking in the mirror. God said, when I look at my creation, I want to see a reflection of me. And when they look at me, I want them to see a reflection of me. I want me, God, to be seen, you know, everywhere that I look, especially in the men and in the women that I've created to replenish the earth. But what happened was the fall came, the rebellion, the high treason in the Garden of Eden, where Adam didn't protect that pea patch, that garden, with his authority, where Eve gave way to the voice of the snake, or the devil through the snake. So in their combination, they failed the original plan that God had. So when God looked at man at that point, he could no longer see himself. He could look in the mirror, but no longer see himself in Adam. He could no longer see himself in Eve. So that tremendous reflection of the glory, that tremendous reflection of the Shekinah presence and image was taken away. It was shattered. And what we have is that what a grievous experience that was for the Lord. So for a time and a season, he was able to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the garden, the Bible says, in fellowship. And he'd look at Adam and see himself. He'd look at Adam, hear Adam talk, and hear himself. He watched Adam make decisions that he himself would make. There was a oneness there. And that was destroyed with that rebellion that took place when Eve partook of the fruit, passed it to Adam, he partook of the fruit, and the greatest fall in the history of mankind took place. That fall from innocence. That fall from that perfect connection with God. And that image now had been shattered. God would look in the mirror and no longer see himself in man. God wants you to see yourself as he sees you. And when you begin to see yourself the way he sees you, when you begin to line yourself up with how God sees you, then you can line up your thoughts, your vision, your words. I mean, things just begin to happen. Confidence shows up. Courage shows up. Crazy faith is born when you begin to see yourself the way that he sees you. You know, Moses basically said when God called him, I can't talk. Why would you send me to deliver a nation? Why would you send me to talk to Pharaoh? These are educated people in Egypt. I can't go down there. I have a stuttering problem. But God said, I see you as a mouthpiece of deliverance to bring out a whole nation. So God saw Moses different than Moses saw himself. Moses said, I can't speak. God said, I see you as an orator. I see you as a voice that will shatter darkness, pierce the veil of corruption, and bring out my people from bondage. I see you differently. You have Jacob, who was named by his... That's all he was. He tasted wine so that Cyrus wouldn't be poisoned. But he didn't accept those limitations. He chose to build a team and go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, rebuild the city. Mary Magdalene was tagged as a prostitute, as a harlot. But she refused to accept that, and she hung out with Jesus, got washed, got cleansed, got healed on the inside, and became a close associate to the travel ministry of the Lord himself. It's because Jesus doesn't call you based upon what you are. He named you based upon who he intends you to become. You have a future. You have a destiny. You aren't done yet. You're still in a work in progress. God still has chapters to finish in your book. You will get to where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do, have what you're supposed to have. You will outshine your critics, outlive your enemies. There is a boatload of glory waiting to navigate you, but you have to begin to make a shift and see yourself the way that God sees you, and pull yourself out of this cultural rating. Get out of that system. Get out of that flow. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's where you begin to base your value, get your new worth on how the word of God sees you. Because God is his word, and the word is God. I'm going to say that again. God is his word. He's put his word above his own name. So if you put his word above his own name, he's saying, when you read my word, you read me. When you read me, you get my thoughts. God's word is God's thoughts about you. These are the thoughts that are supposed to really reshape you, reform you, reinvigorate you, retool you, re-energize you, you know, and re-navigate you to get you moving in another direction, to erase maybe what your parents haven't been able to do, or what a boyfriend couldn't see, what a husband didn't appreciate, what a church couldn't locate, what your friends refused to let you become, on and on and on. And it's so amazing how people become prisoners of people and their words and their thoughts and their hurtful actions. You must remove yourself from what people have said about you, thought about you, their opinions of you. And sometimes it's too, you're not strong enough to do that just by an emotional decision. And that's why the lamp of God unto your feet, this verse in Psalm 119, verse 105, this word is something supernatural about the scripture. There's something so amazing when it gets down on the inside of you that it will amaze you. It will reveal truth and not just an opinion. I mean, the breath of God will get on the inside of you and go to work. And pretty soon you'll begin to see yourself not in yourself, but in Christ. You know, in Christ I can do all things. In Christ I am accepted. In Christ all things are possible. The list is endless. The list is endless when you become someone associated and connected to the greatest winner, the greatest champion, the greatest overcomer, the all-time undisputed king of everything, Jesus. His name gets on you. His blood gets in you. His word gets in you. His ways, his thoughts. And pretty soon you become someone that carries such a value. I mean, you have to meditate on this. You just can't, you know, listen to this CD and say, I got it. You got to meditate. You got to break down some of these patterns that you've been living in for years and years and years. Because what's been said to you, and the most part, I mean, words are hurtful. Words, the Bible says, go down into your belly and make war. They formulate false standards, false opinions. They ruin people's lives. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? People's words will ruin you. God's words will make you a triumphant, overcoming individual. As you meditate, these scriptures, all 66 books. The Bible's not a book. It's 66 of them. Written by holy men of old as the Holy Spirit moved through them, breathed on them. And Jesus, he's wanting you to break away. He realized you just can't do it on your own. So he's saying, I want you to get my word. First Peter says that God's word is incorruptible seed. It's incorruptible seed. So whenever you begin to read what his word says about you, that seed goes down inside of you and it begins to check out corruption. It begins to evict corruptive thoughts, corruptive patterns. Because his word is incorruptible. His seed is incorruptible. And you begin to see yourself the way the scriptures teach. The scriptures say you're the apple of his eye. You're the treasure of his field. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You carry a ministry of reconciliation, that you're strong in the Lord, that you have creative powers, you have gifts of the Spirit, you have a connection with God in the supernatural realm, you have a plan that God has for you, an assignment that can't be fulfilled by anybody else. I mean, this word gets on the inside of you, that you're forgiven, that you're a new creation, that the broken pieces of your life can be restored, that miracles are waiting, one after the other after the other, that you can prosper as your soul prospers, that you can live in peace, that you can make peace with your past, that you can yet have divine appointments and Holy Ghost connections that can launch you overnight into a situation where you can begin to live the dream that you never thought possible. Yes, God can end the nightmare and begin the dream. But you don't know what's happened. You don't know what all I've gone through. No, I don't, but I do know that we all go through things. We all experience heartache, setbacks. We all fail within ourselves. And the good thing about that is if you're thinking correctly, then I need the Lord. I just can't make it on willpower. I just can't make it on my education. I just can't make it on my connections. And that's why Zechariah said it best. It's not by might or power. It's by the Spirit. If you'll just take a step back today and say, okay, I can do this and I can do this, but I really can't make it all come together. I need the Lord. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need to begin to see myself the way God does so that I can carry some level of confidence, so that I can become secure that I'm going to get through this valley. I'm going to come out of this tailspin. I'm going to bounce back from this failure. I will make this despite the odds. I'm swimming upstream. I'm going to get there. The grizzly bear is not going to get me. I don't know about the other fish he's going to get, but he's not going to get me. I'm going to get to where I'm to get. I'm going to lay the eggs I'm supposed to lay. And then I'm going to meet my maker. I will finish the race. I'll run the course. I'll get the job done. Not because I'm that great. Not because I'm strong. Not because I got it together. But because I serve a God who's always had it together. I must begin to see myself the way that he sees me. They saw David just as a shepherd boy. God saw him as a king. God saw David as a king. See, God sees you way different than most people do. We must get aligned with how God sees you. And as you read the scriptures, as you get around people of faith, as you get around people that preach a message of grace and peace and hope, of reconciliation, of miracles, when you get around that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit is free to work and begin to anoint your eyes with eye salve and cause you to see, to open up your eyes and have give you understanding. And when you begin to see what God has for you, oh my, motivation is born. Courage and confidence takes place. And you are off to your destiny. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing what can begin to happen when you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you. It's a journey. It's a process. It doesn't mean that everything that I'm saying goes away overnight, but you begin today. And as you begin to see that Jesus sees you as clean, as holy, as blameless, as forgiven, as healed, as whole, as successful, when he's already seeing you that way. Now, you don't see yourself that way necessarily, but as you hang out with him, as I said, as you sing these praise songs, as you read the scriptures, as you stay in the atmosphere of faith, so vital to staying in that atmosphere of faith, hearing people that preach the promises of God, hearing people that give you hope, hearing people that let you know that everything, those are called in court to his purpose, that everything will work together for your good. The good, the bad, and the shameful will all still come around and work for you. God wants you to get a complete soul cleanse, a washing of your soul. It's been so soiled by the opinions of others. And even though you go to church and you sing the songs and you come out and you feel better, it don't last for any more than a couple of days or a week, and then you're back at the workplace. You're back among your friends, and that has a hold on you because you see yourself pale in comparison to them, and you don't have as much money as them. You're not as good looking as them. You don't have as many cars as they do. You don't have as many muscles as he does. You're not as fast a runner as she is. And pretty soon you fall into that comparison trap. And then you don't see yourself accurately. It's great to have appreciation of others. It's great to see people's value. And it's okay to understand that some people are better skilled than you in other areas. But never is it good to let the success or the traits of others intimidate you. And it's never right for you to settle just for how people see you. You know, people are never, I mean, not all people. We know that some people are going to always encourage you and see you as special. But for the most part, people are selfish. People see themselves. And so while you're waiting, you know, while you're waiting on an emotional lottery for someone to recognize you, discover you, understand your personality, who you are, life goes by so quickly. Years disappear, and you can be playing catch-up at a late age and never achieve what God has for you, all because you were waiting on someone to understand you, to really know you, to really love you. When you love yourself the way God wants you to love yourself, you'll attract love. When you see yourself as successful the way that God sees you, you will attract success. When you see yourself as creative and the possibility of doing anything, you will create opportunities that will shock you. It's amazing, this projection of your self-worth and your self-value, how far it can carry you. How far can it carry you? The whole way to the end of the race. But this requires a soul cleanse. It requires the washing of your soul from all this painful, the hurts that have shaped you, that have made you see yourself less than who you really are. As you read God's word, as you sit in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as you meditate, as you rehearse, as you pray, as you put all of these together in a blender and you continue to drink this blend of spiritual activity, there will be a breaking loose of these false concepts that are in your soul, of these false accolades, of these false impressions. They can leave you. You can go from a nobody to a somebody. You can go from a failure to a success. You can go from broken to healed. You can go from poor to rich, weak to strong. You can. That's the story of the gospel. That's how God sees you. He didn't save you, live inside of you, invest in you all of these years for you not to be a story of restoration, a story of success, a story of courage. He just wants you to be able to give him the credit and the glory for everything that's about to take place. This soul cleanse will take time. It'll take a process. It takes a steady exposure to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a steady exposure to the written word of God, a steady exposure. And I'm telling you, as this soul gets cleansed, that's what it says in 3 John 2, that I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That's good. Be in health. That's good. Listen to what it says. As thy soul prospers. God wants that soul to prosper, and that prosperity will determine your health physically, your health mentally, and your wealth. As your soul prospers, so shall your health and your wealth be. Let's get prospering in the soul. Let's get this new incorruptible seed down on the inside of us. Let's read and meditate on God's words, on God's thoughts. Let's put the USA Today away. Let's put the novels on the shelf. Let's put some of these magazines that you read. You read Better Homes and Garden. You don't have a better home or a better garden. You read fancy car magazines and you still don't have a new car. You read muscle magazines and you still don't have any muscles. Read the book that you can get what you're reading. The Word of God is a magnet. It will bring the blessings to you. It will drop ship blessings to your front door. It's a hammer that breaks the strategies of the enemy. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's incorruptible seed. It just can't be corrupted. This is where we begin to build. And then what happens is when you begin to see yourself the way the Word of God says that you should, and then you go back to work and people don't treat you fairly, all of a sudden it don't matter anymore, because now you're going by how God sees you. Maybe the girl at the water cooler don't see you as that great, but God does. Maybe the employer, the owner of that company, or maybe your friend in school or whatever, maybe they just don't want to give you your due, but God has. And when God begins to give you the blessing that you need, I'm telling you, when you begin to walk in that, you get set free from the thoughts of others. You break free from being a people pleaser. And you move into the new town, the new high rise of being a God pleaser. And you begin to see yourself the way that he does, a new creation, a miracle in motion, a progressive work of the grace of God, a blessing, a Holy Spirit-inspired individual set out on a journey to accomplish the high purpose of God for your life. I tell you, people, it's amazing what can happen whenever there's a shift in how you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you. And here again, this is not an overnight process, because we're reminded of our weaknesses and our failures daily or weekly, however. But whenever you draw on that grace of God, when you draw on that mercy of the Most High, whenever you draw on that faith that continues to percolate and tells you a righteous man may fall in seven times, but seven times in one day he picks himself up and moves towards that ultimate goal. What's that ultimate goal? To be all you're supposed to be in God? To have all that you're supposed to have? To do all that you're supposed to do? See, this is a nurturing process. It requires great nurturing. Because the world is brutal. Whether you watch the news, whether you watch a movie, it's etched in stone. It's real. It's real. Make no mistake about it. You, myself, everybody. And it's sad. It's so sad that it has ruined so many people. It has reached in and ripped out their heart, ripped out their dreams, ripped out their future inspiration to achieve and to become all who God wants them to be. It doesn't have to be that way for you. Jesus came that we might restore the image back to God Himself. Now God sees us through the cross. God sees us through the finished work of the blood that Jesus shed. God sees us through the sacrifice that Jesus made. Now God sees us through His Son, and that's why it says, in Him we live and move and have our being. I can do all things in Him. All things are possible in Christ. That's the reason that word in Christ is all through the New Testament, because that's now how God sees you. He no longer sees you as a failure. He no longer sees you as a sinner. He no longer sees you as someone who can't achieve. He no longer sees you as hopeless. How about that? As long as you're breathing, there's hope. As long as you can put a foot in front of you, a hand out and beyond you, there's a potential for you to yet achieve, to reach, irregardless of what you've been through. I said it and said it and said it. Joshua came through out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. Joshua did it. He came through it and he did it. The Hebrew children came through the furnace and did it. Jonah came out of the fish and did it. Paul and Silas came through a horrible time in the prison and they did it. Jesus came off the cross, out of the tomb, and he did it. We don't read stories of sissies. We don't read stories of people who didn't know how to face the hardships of life. Shipwrecked, beaten, snake bit, and yet he did it. And so will you. But you've got to get into a different mindset. It's not about you getting all emotional. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change my thoughts. You can't. You just can't willpower your way into a new world. You can't do that. There's a force in this world that's stronger than human nature, stronger than human will. You know, Paul said it best in Ephesians. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of wickedness in dark places. I'm telling you truthfully that there's nobody that sees you quite like Jesus. When the woman was taken in adultery, they brought her, they threw her at the feet of Jesus. And they said to him, this woman was taken in the action and blah, and blah, and she this and she that. He looked at her, he said, who condemns you? She said, no man. He said, neither do I. Go your way. Sin no more. Go your way. There was no venom. There's no poison. Even though she was in the wrong, she was caught in the act, he released her with his love. He had a way of exposing her weakness without killing or crucifying her. Today, people just throw people under the bus. They toast them, fry them. You know, they condemn them to, you're nothing, you'll never do it, you can't make it, you're done, you've made too many mistakes. When people left the presence of Jesus, they felt like they had a hope to remake, relive, start over, do it again. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house. Here comes a woman knocking at the door. She falls at his feet and begins to wash his feet with her tears, wipe his feet with her hair. The Pharisee that was watching said, I can't believe you're letting her do that. He said, excuse me very much. He said, you don't have a lot of love. She does. She's been forgiven of a lot and she knows it. You've been forgiven of little. That's what you think. In other words, this woman had the presence and the peace to approach Jesus. Why? Because people felt comfortable in his presence in spite of their flaws. It's sad today that so many people don't feel worthy to go to church. They don't feel good enough to be in the choir. The church has set such a high standard of living that even they themselves can't practice that kind of pious living. So people don't feel good enough to be on a worship team, sing in a choir, greet at the door. Those are for the special people. I guess we assume those people never sin, never think a wrong thought, never do a bad deed. It's just not right today that we have created an atmosphere that condemns and doesn't construct. When God sees you the way, when you see yourself the way that God sees you, you'll begin, even though man may never, you got to get out of that waiting line of people seeing you the way you'd want them to. They may never. You may succeed. You may prove everybody wrong, but that doesn't mean they're going to choose to see you that way. Their anger, their jealousy, their pride may never let them give you the honor that you deserve. And that's why you've got to make a choice to no longer get out of the waiting line and get into the honor line, the transformation line, the destiny line. The line that says, I'm taking charge of my life today. I'm done waiting for your affirmation. I'm done waiting for your approval. I won't be angry with you. I won't be mean with you. But I'm going to walk to a different drumbeat. I'm going to walk to a different voice. There's a voice that says, I'm accepted. There's a voice that says, I'm worthy. There's a voice that says, I can make it. I can do it. I can have it. There's a voice that says, the promises of God are yes and amen. And I'm going to begin to see myself the way that God does. I am the head and not the tail. I'm the winner and not the loser. I'm on top and not on the bottom. I'm moving toward the front of the line, not the back of the line. Things are breaking for me. I'm not stuck. He will part my water, split my heavens, reach for me with his hand, drop a line of cord from the window. Oh my, he is my deliverer. He is my high tower. And that's why it says the righteous run into it and they are safe. Get safe today. Run into the name of the Lord. Embrace him today. When you get a prophecy, believe it, receive it, rehearse it. When people compliment you, don't say, I don't think so. Say, I receive it. Thank you very much. When you meditate on the Word of God and you read it and you say, yes, that's me. But begin today to no longer wait on the approval of others, because on God's scale, you're already a 10 plus. On God's scale, you are amazingly destined to be gloriously successful, abundantly satisfied, highly favored, divinely appointed. When Jesus invests in you, he's investing not just in you, but on everybody you come in contact with. That's the reason, and that's how the glory is spread. When Pastor Billy Burke sees himself the way that God does, he's able to walk in spite of flaws, in spite of imperfections, in spite of valleys and struggles. He's able to walk through and continue on the path, that shining path of Proverbs 4, that gets brighter and brighter until that day. That's the path that God has for you, is a bright path. People on that path he wants you to meet. Divine appointments he wants you to connect with. More healings are coming your way. More money is in store for you. More emotional restoration is on the menu. God's about to do his greatest deeds of glory concerning you in the days ahead. Begin to expect it. Begin to prepare for it. Get ready for the rest of the ride. As we live and march down the path of these end times, we need a church that is confident in who they are, born again. I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has me. I have a grasp of the shaking of the nations and the revival of the whole earth. Moses said in Numbers 14:21, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. We're watching that happen today. My friend, take some time. I pray that as you listen to this teaching today, to pull yourself from the clutches and the grasp of people, of their impressions, of the scale they have you on. You can't stop them from thinking it, and you can't stop them from saying it, but you can stop yourself from receiving it. And that's all you have to say is, I'm not on that scale. I don't receive that. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the apple of God's eye. He is my Savior, my Lord, my Deliverer. I will follow Him all the days of my life. I pray today this teaching has helped you, has resonated in you, and I pray today that you'll begin to see yourself as among the bold and the free and the healed. I pray today that you'll begin to let the Word of God shape and form new thoughts, new feelings, new images inside of you that will help you grab a hold of who you really are. Do it today. Don't wait another day, a week. Don't wait years. Do it today that you can redeem the time. Make the most out of what years God has left for you so you can have a satisfied journey and impact all those around you who need to be lifted up, edified, charged to a higher level of expectancy that comes by example only. Be that example today. Bless, I pray, my friends today watching, listening to this wonderful CD. I pray your Holy Spirit touch, go down deep, uproot false impressions, wrong strongholds. And may your word, and may prophetic preaching and mentorship, may the anointing, oh God, may that anointing go down deep and begin to give the right impressions, the right images, that they would see themselves the way that you see them. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the glory. Amen and amen.
For more information about this and any of Billy Burke's other teachings, please call 813-287-2116, or you can call us toll-free at 888-7 and the word HEALED. The mailing address is Billy Burke World Outreach, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida, 33622. You can also visit us on the web at billyburke.org.